We're grateful, God. We're grateful as we turn our attention to the scripture and consider the setting of this day, that on this first Sunday, once we hear the word proclaimed, we will come forward with our tithes and our offerings, and we will come and receive Holy Communion. So it is fitting on this day, when we remember what you have done for us through Jesus Christ, that indeed we also be reminded that all of us have sinned by thought, word, and deed, that we have fallen short of the glory of God, that our faith walk has not been perfect. God, we confess right now, we confess our sins. And God, in your mercy and grace, we receive your grace. Somebody say, have mercy.
Have mercy.
For indeed, God, you are the merciful God who is quick to forgive us when we confess our sins. Quick to pour out mercy and grace, revive and renew us. So as we anticipate celebrating Holy Communion, we come believing that your gift to us in Jesus Christ has ushered us into a relationship with you. We are forgiven of all our sins and have embraced the gift of a non-perishing life, the gift of eternal life, and the gift of life more abundantly. Preach to us, God, such that the scriptures give us revelation and understanding. Preach to us, God, such that we have knowledge and wisdom of your ways and your will. Preach to us, God, so that our souls are fed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You've heard the scripture lesson read this morning, Psalm 137. Amen. Meditate with me for just a few moments on the sermonic reflection, singing in the struggle. Singing in the struggle. Singing, singing, singing in the struggle. In the struggle, in the struggle. Sometime along in the process of preparation for the sermon, I jotted down a sermonic theme of singing in the rain. As I sat in meditation and prayer every time I revisited the sermon during the week, I kept getting images of Gene Kelly. And they were in black and white, and he had an umbrella, and he was dancing. And I refused to embrace that sermonic selection because it clearly would date me. Because some of the young people were like, Gene who? But reflect with me on the thought, singing in the struggle. We know that the book of Psalms, contains a collection of psalms, lamentations, prayers that were written by the people of Israel over their history, a very long history. And what we have collected for us in our Bibles is but a portion of those songs, lamentation, prayers, and poetry of the people. And it came out of their relationship with God, indeed divinely inspired and full of analogy and metaphor and rich poetic language. So we are careful to learn truth and wisdom and insight from the Psalms, but not often to interpret them literally. Amen. Hallelujah. But they teach us something about God and a relationship with God, and they are the words of the people of God, indeed inspired by God. Amen. We still all right? For every psalm, there is a context. For every song, lamentation, prayer, poem, there's a context. There's a situation surrounding the instruction of the song, and there's a context in which the song is used. Some songs are songs or psalms of coronation, and they were used in a coronation of some sort where the king was walking in and they were going into worship and singing. Some songs were songs of intercession, and they were used in the season of prayer. Every psalm or song, poetry, poem, has a context in which it was used by the people of Israel. And then that context informs us what the song was all about. We still together? And so Psalm 137, Bible scholars have encouraged us to consider that this particular song was written by the people of Israel after they had been exiled, put out of what they called their promised land. They understood that to be Jerusalem, and this is a critical understanding that they had. Here these former slaves, when they had been set free by God from slavery in Egypt, they understood to be given a land that God promised them. Now, the land was inhabited by people. They understood that God had promised this land to them, and eventually they made their way to the land, and they inhabited the land, and they were prospering in the land, but over time, things began to change, and their understanding was that they became disobedient to God, and they fell out of the will of God, and God allowed their enemies to rise up against them and overtake them. That was their understanding. And at the setting of this psalm, many people have been put out of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, their city that God had given them with a temple that God instructed them on how to build, has been destroyed. The city has been destroyed. And many of the leaders, in particular the artists and the skilled persons in the community, have been put out. They've been in exile and sent to Babylon. And so they've been removed from this promised land that God had given them through their ancestors. That land has been destroyed, and they've been exiled from the land, and they are now in a foreign land. Are you with me? So they are a bitter, exiled people. The bitter experience of having been exiled lingers with them. Every day they're reminders of them that they are foreigners, that they don't quite fit in where they are, and that their mere presence is a representation of them having been defeated, that they are broken people. And so here they are in this bitter experience, and everything around them reminds them that they are not home, and in fact, their home is in ruins. And they are going to somehow or another have to make do in Babylon. Even as this song suggests, they're at the rivers, probably the rivers of Euphrates, in the area of Babylon. And there they're standing near willows and poplar trees, which were common to that region, not their homeland. So even the foliage reminded them that they were not at home. And there they are, the text suggests to us, sitting by the river. That's the context. And their tormentors, their captors, say to them, "Sing us a song. You got that harp?" And we know y'all can sing, because they knew they had brought the artists and the leaders of the community to exile. "Sing us a song. Entertain us with one of the songs of Zion," one of those songs you used to sing all the time when you were back in your land. So the text says there they sat and they wept over their circumstance. They wept over their circumstance as their tempters were saying to them, "Sing us one of your songs of Zion." And the context reminds me of just the power of songs, in particular of sad songs. I mean, if you sad and you listen to some blues, my goodness, it just might express, capture in ways that you cannot begin to articulate on your own your sadness. You know that you have that experience with sad songs. I think one songwriter said sad songs say so much. Yeah, y'all catch that when you get home. Sad songs. Sad songs. Country music. Often you can hear a country music song and it will just capture a sad situation with a certain flair. Somebody's lover has left them and they feeling bad. The house burned down, the dog got sick, the cat ran away, and the truck won't start. Just a sad song. It just captures the sadness of the moment. Every time I hear "Purple Rain," I just get quiet and sad, you know. Just sad songs. Alicia Keys has one out now. "Why Do I Feel Sad?" Just listen to the song and you feel so sad. Cannot help it. But think about it. Whenever I see that movie, I think it's Coolie High. I don't know what it is. But now there's a version of it by Boys to Men, and it's so hard to say goodbye. Or "The End of the Road." I'm talking about sad songs that you just hear the song. I don't even know the name of the song. I know it's a blues song, and the person talking about is one of my favorite ones, talking about their love has left them and just walked all over them. And there's a line in that song that says, "If you gonna walk all over my heart, just take your shoes off." Just a sad song. Sad song. And sad songs have a way of rehearsing your sad situation and helping you sit right in that sad situation. It sort of rehearses it, captures it for it. And there's nothing wrong with expressing your sadness. Go on, sing your sad song. Ain't nothing wrong with it. It's just another sad love song, Toni Braxton said. All right, I'm going to move on. But you know what I mean. Because y'all getting sad up in here. So the sad songs have a way of capturing the way you feel. And the people of Israel, in that context, they were bitter. They were angry. They were sad. And the song that is captured in Psalm 137 is a reflection of their situation and their circumstances. So they begin sort of asking that question, you know, how can we possibly sing these songs? Here we are in Babylon. We can't forget Jerusalem. We can't forget home. And we so sad about it. Verse 5 says that, you know what? I can't forget where I came from. Rather than sing a song in this foreign land, I would that my hand forget how to play the harp. Just don't even want the skill to play anymore. Rather than sing a song, and this is the song though. In this foreign land, I want my tongue to stick to the roof of my mouth. I don't even want to be able to sing no more. I'm so sad in my situation in Jerusalem, in Babylon. And then it goes on to say in verse 7, I remember Jerusalem. And I even remember how our enemies rose up against us. And you know what? I hope that somebody bigger and badder then Babylon will rise up against them. And in verse 8, and will take them over and destroy them. Now they get mean. They say, and destroy them so bad that they'll grab their babies, King James Version says. They'll grab their infants and dash their heads against the rock. They were mad. They were angry. That's not a prescription on child parenting skills. They were angry, and this is an analogy. They were so angry, they said, this is what we hope happens to you. They sing in a song. We hope that somebody bigger than you destroys you and destroys your children. That sad song, sad situation, rehearsing and expressing their anger, their frustration. And there's nothing wrong with expression of our anger, our frustration, our despair, our sadness, our situation. In fact, expressing it is critical. But you don't want to get stuck in the sadness of the situation. You want to find a way to press through the sorrow so that you don't get stuck as a victim, but you begin to move into your victory. Are you still with me? So really, as a believer, when trouble begins to rise, that's when you tune up. When struggle is coming your way, that's when you start trying to find a song. You move into the posture of singing because it's part of your weapon of victory. And the heavier the load, the harder you ought to sing. And it really doesn't matter how you sound, it's that you sing. Oh, come on now, I'm almost through. So the critical piece here that the children of Israel needed to be reminded of and that we are blessed to be reminded of today is you got to know who you're singing to and what to sing about. You got to know who you're singing to and what to sing about. If you're going to sing in the struggle, sing about the struggle, but don't get stuck in the struggle spirit. You want to move to a spirit of victory. And therefore, it's imperative that you know who you're singing to and how you're singing. Somebody say, come on and teach us, Pastor. So we sing to God. And that's critical. Because in the sad songs of a secular context in particular, we're singing to the situation. We're singing to the broken heart, ours or the others or whatever. But in these songs that we're using in our struggle for spiritual breakthrough, we are real clear we're singing to God. We even need to be careful about that in church from time to time. Sometime in church, there's nothing wrong with it, but it can't be the center of our worship. We sing to each other. We encourage each other. The best is yet to come. Hold on, my brother. Hold on, my sister. That song, we're really singing to each other to encourage each other. Now, we don't want that to be the majority of worship, but sometimes we do that. But when you are singing in the struggle in order to break through, you have to be clear that you're singing to God. Come on, you need to write that down. That's critical. That you're singing to God. I'm not singing to my situation. I'm not singing to the person. I'm not singing to flesh and blood. I am singing to God. Why it is imperative that we realize that we're singing to God is because as soon as you begin to sing to God, you begin to put your focus on God. You put your focus on God. It's not that God was ever absent at any point. God was with them in Babylon at the river while they sat there and sang to their situation. God is with you, but when you begin to sing to God, you begin to put your focus on God. And I heard a preacher say that the more you focus on God, the bigger God becomes, such that God becomes bigger than your problem. Come on, are you still with me? You're magnifying the presence of God. You're magnifying, you're building up the presence of God. So you sing to God, shifting your focus to God, magnifying the presence of God. God gets bigger and bigger. And when God gets bigger in your situation, your enemy gets smaller. Your problem gets smaller. Your challenge gets smaller. You keep singing and focusing on the presence of God, and then you realize you're stirring up your faith. 2 Timothy, the first chapter, the sixth verse, reminds us to stir up our faith, fan into a flame our faith, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but God's given us a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. So you're singing to God, focusing on God, magnifying God, shrinking your problem, fanning, stirring up your faith. Reality is, the enemy does not want to hear you sing to God. So as you begin to sing to God, you begin to unsettle any negativity around you. You begin to unsettle, you begin to put in a movement away from you any negativity. Are you still with me? So here in the midst of my struggle, in the midst of whatever our problem might be, in the midst of whatever our despair might be, in the midst of whatever the challenge might be, we begin to sing to God, shifting our focus on God, magnifying, expanding, blowing up the presence of God, stirring up our faith. And what you do in that process is you begin to establish divine order. Somebody say divine order. Yeah, that's why you're singing, because you're establishing ultimately divine order. Whatever may be going on around you in that moment, whatever it is, disease, sickness, whatever it is where there is any loss, wherever there is where anything is coming to kill, steal, or destroy you, because that's what the enemy brings. Whenever any of that is being stirred up, you begin to sing to God, shifting your focus to God, blowing up, magnifying the presence of God, stirring up your faith, and what you're doing is establishing divine order. Now, the challenge for us sometimes is that we don't realize we have to establish divine order over and over again in order for the order to be made manifest. Sometimes instantaneously things change, and other times it takes a few instances before things change. But you don't want to abandon your post just because your deliverance is delayed. You have to keep establishing divine order. And sometimes you have to do it over and over and over in order to let God's authority begin to reign. Jesus says, "Look, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I came that which you stand in need of would be provided for you." Jesus said, "When I came to set the captives free. I came with good news for the poor, the broken, the least among you. I came for healing of the brokenhearted. I came to proclaim the year of God's favor. I came to set things right." So when you begin to focus on God, you are establishing divine order. And that means all the other stuff around you is going to have to give way to the will of God in that situation, in that moment. Things have to just give way because you're establishing divine order. And all you're doing is singing to God, and God is starting to clean house. Sometimes as the cleaning of the house process begins, we get nervous and anxious, and we shift our focus away from God and focus on the cleanup process. And therefore, we begin to sort of slip and begin to look at ourselves and the problem instead of continuing to focus on God and God's divine order. Are you with me this morning? So if you can press your way in the midst of the struggle into singing and focusing on God, and the singing is significant, and in the singing process, magnify the presence of God, minimize the presence of the enemy, of evil, of the adversary, and begin to allow your faith to be stirred up so that you can walk with the power, love, and self-discipline God has given you, ushering in divine order. Joshua will tell you, if you're able to do that, walls will fall down. David would testify, when you're able to do that, giants are destroyed. Moses would tell you, when you're able to do that, waters are parted. Deborah would tell you, when you're able to do that, victory is had in battle. The woman with the issue of blood will tell you, when you're able to do that,
Your body can be healed. Your mind can be restored. Your soul can be rejuvenated. When you're able to do that, your enemies begin to morph and they become your footstool. When you're able to do that, your challenges become your testimony of triumph. And when the sword comes intended to slay you, it's morphed into a plowshare, giving you some harvest. Oh, when you're able to do that, that which was sent to break you builds you up. That which was sent to destroy you inspires you. Circumstances around you begin to change. Sometimes your enemies will be tripping because they have to turn around and bless you. They don't even know why. But because divine order was established in the moment. That's why it's critical that you not only know who you're singing to, but that you know what you're singing. Come on, come on, listen. Because in those circumstances, in the circumstance of warfare, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. In the circumstances of struggle, when we're dealing with whatever negative energy may be around us or in our communities, in our world, it's not really about people. It's about how we step into warfare that the positive things of God will persevere. And so you really want to know your weapons. And it's critical that what you sing is praise. That's why it's important when we come into worship that we come in and we have a moment of praise. Praise is when you focus on who God is. Not so much on what God has done, even though there is overlap. Because when you talk about who God is, you talk about the character of God. And you end up talking about who, in some ways, what God has done. But praise, because you want to be particular. Praise focuses on who God is. This is not the time for thanksgiving. It's not a time for petition. It's not a time for intercession. It's not a time for commanding anything of God. It's not even a time for worship. You're talking about just first, before you can even get to worship, going into an atmosphere of praise where you just focus on who God is. That's why it's important. It's important what we sing when we're in worship. We can't sing just anything. And we can't sing anything at any moment. We have to come to a place of praise where we establish divine order, where we understand who God is. I'm here because of who God is. I'm singing because of who God is. I'm giving because of who God is. I'm living because of who God is. It's critical that we go into an atmosphere of praise, not just any song, come on now, but a praise song that focuses on who God is. People of Israel had the book of Psalms, collections of Psalms that focused on who God is. And those are the songs that they really needed to lift after they finished the sad song. They needed to lift Psalm 66 that says, shout with joy to God. All the earth, sing glory to God. Sing praise to God. Sing glory to God. Sing praise to God's name. Psalm 68, sing to God a new song of praise. For God rides on the clouds and is victorious over every situation. Oh, praise God with everything that you've got. Psalm 95, come, let us sing for the joy of the Lord. Sing praise for the Lord. God is great. God reigns. God rules. And we all ought to praise God. Come on now. You know you love Psalm 100, which is also a psalm of praise. Shout for the joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before God's presence with joyful singing. Know that the Lord is God, and it is God who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are God's people, and we are the sheep in God's pasture. So enter in to God's gates with thanksgiving and praise. Praise. Psalm 103. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, all my inmost being, praise God's holy name. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul, and forget not all of God's benefits towards me. God, who forgives me of all my sins. God, who heals me of all my diseases. God, who redeems me from everything in my life. Oh, praise God. Praise God with glory and honor. Praise God with majesty. Praise God with adoration. Praise the Lord and all the Lord's angels. God indeed is mighty. Praise the Lord, all heaven and earth. Psalm 104, I'm almost through. Oh Lord, my God. I'm just praising God for who God is. Oh Lord, my God. You are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. You wrap yourself in light as with a garment. And when I find myself in darkness, your light is my deliverance. Oh God, I praise you. For indeed your majesty has been made known to me. Your wisdom and splendor has sustained me. Your joy has made me whole. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. List goes on and on throughout the Psalms. Song of praise after praise. 134, 135, 138, 117, 145 through 150. Psalm praising God one after the other. Because they realize that when you begin to praise God for who God is, the negativity, the enemy, the adversary that may be around you does not want to hear you praise God. So they'll begin to move away. And your praise to God begins to transform your situation because divine order is being established. So when struggles come, and they will come, our call is to move into a posture of singing, in part because it's one of our weapons, resources. You can pray. Sometimes you just can't get a prayer through. You can read the scripture. Sometimes you just don't have the word with you. But you can always break into a song, because the mere singing, it's one of our resources. The mere singing, it's a resource to connect with God, a gift given to us by God. You do understand God is the giver of music. And as we sing, we begin to shift our focus in the midst of the struggle, and we begin to focus on who? On God. I'm singing to God. I can't help but focus on God. Even though thoughts of negativity might still start creeping in my mind, the more I sing praise God, in whose image I am fearfully and wonderfully made, praise God, the source of my deliverance, praise God, my creator and sustainer, the more I do that, the more I focus on God. And as I focus on God, my enemy is diminishing. My struggle is coming into submission. I'm getting more conscious of God, and I'm putting the enemy unconscious. I'm becoming more aware of God, and I'm making the enemy back up off of me. And divine order begins to be established. And as the divine order is established, I'm reminded because my faith is stirred up. I'm reminded because my faith is stirred up that I've got a spirit of love. I've got a spirit of power. I've got a spirit of self-discipline given to me by God. So I'm singing praise songs in the struggle because it's critical to our perseverance. Oh yeah, Israel asked the question, how can we sing the Lord's songs of praise? Songs of Zion were songs of praise, yada, in a foreign land. Oh, you sing them by singing to God. You sing them by singing praise to God. And that was the critical point for Israel. See, they said our captors asked us to sing to them. I know we got to take communion and we got to step on out of here, but you need to just roll back and hear that revelation. Their captors said, entertain us with one of your God songs. And that would have meant they were singing to who? Oh, but God's instruction to us is to sing to God. Well, don't sing to your sad situation and magnify the sad situation. Oh, but sing your praise unto God and and magnify God. Not how can we sing, but just what shall we sing? Maybe we'll sing, our God is an awesome God. God reigns from the heaven above with wisdom and power and love. Maybe we'll keep it simple and just sing, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Everybody ought to praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
But I'm not singing to my captor. I'm not singing to my situation.
No, no.
I'm singing to my Savior. I'm singing to my helper. I'm singing to my deliverer. I'm singing to my healer. I'm singing to my way maker. Yeah!
God here.
Not singing to the situation. I'm singing to God. And with a blank slate, hunt your neighbor and say, you don't even tell God what to do.
You don't tell
him
what to do.
No. Sometimes we get all caught up in the situation, trying to tell God how to fix it. God just waiting. They through yet? I ain't coming at it that way. I'm not going to do it like that. It ain't happening like that. Have they stopped talking yet? Because if they would just sing to me about who I am, just sing to God about who God is. Do you know what happens? God starts to sing.
What to say?
Come on. God starts to communicate with you. God will sing to you. God will speak to you.
Ooh, yeah.
God will drop a voice in your spirit that you cannot deny. And God will start giving you answers to questions.
Well,
God will give you answers to questions you're not even ready to ask. But oh, in the struggle, I sing to God. I know God is Jehovah Rapha. I know.
Yes, he is.
God is Jehovah Nissi. Yeah. So we're singing to God, shifting our focus from our situation and putting it on God, magnifying the presence of God. You know what I mean? Magnifying the presence of God, positioning ourselves to then be in divine order, because that's really what you're calling for. You know, sometimes the saints, they just say, give me divine order, Lord. They don't even break out in song. That's what you're calling for, divine order. And in divine order, all other things began to move away and give way to the rule of God, because you're giving way to it. That's why you don't tell God what to do, when, how, in those circumstances. You can be specific in your prayers, but this ain't that kind of prayer. Just in that situation of struggle, you got to keep it simple. You know that. And you just focus on who God is. Again, it doesn't have to be deep. It doesn't have to be a long song. It doesn't have to be a whole lot of fancy words.
Mm-mm.
The tempo really doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
It's the content and the direction and the way it transforms your circumstance, your situation, and how it moves on you. Praise the Lord, everybody. Now hold up. That's exactly what Israel did in their singing. The songster would give a lead, and the people would lift a refrain, and they all were singing to God. Now can you imagine sitting in the foreign land, weeping and crying, singing a sad song, cursing the folk around them, asking God to curse the folk around them, gonna beat up on the babies because they so mad. Well, you done expressed it, but don't stay in it. Somebody needed to rise up and begin to stroll down by the rolling river and just cry out, praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord,
everybody.
Praise
the Lord, everybody. Everybody ought to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Everybody ought to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Everybody ought to praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Lord, everybody pray.
I'm not telling God what to do. Not telling God how to do it. I'm just praising God. Gonna set up divine order. Gonna set up my victory. Gonna set up my breakthrough.
It'd be good to use it.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
He just brought me out.
Make you wanna dance. Make you wanna shout.
Everybody pray, Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Pray, Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Pray, Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Pray, Lord. Everybody pray, Lord.
Come on, shout for joy. Shout for joy, everybody. Shout for joy, everybody. Shout for joy, everybody. Everybody ought to shout for joy. Yeah!
Would you say, then shout for joy? Oh, shout for joy.
Come on.
Shout,
somebody
shout,
just needs shout, to get a breakthrough.
Everybody shout for joy.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord,
everybody.
Yeah, pray, Lord.
Everybody ought to pray.
Lord. Lord.
Yes!
Hey, hey, hey. Oh, Lord. Oh, yeah.
Come on, come on.
Come on, hey. Shout for joy.
Shout for joy, everybody.
Shout for joy,
everybody.
Shout for joy,
everybody.
Shout for joy,
everybody. Shout for joy.
Shout for joy.
Everybody ought to shout for joy. Praise the Lord. 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 In the midnight hour. In the midnight hour, when I'm feeling alone, when I'm feeling afraid, in the midnight hour, in the midnight hour, in the midnight hour, yeah! Oh, come on now, come on, come on! Come on, come on. You're singing, even in your struggle. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Everybody ought to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Everybody.
Shout for joy.
Shout for joy. Shout for joy. Shout for. Come on, you're focusing on God. You're magnifying the presence of God. You're making the enemy flee. You're making negativity move. You're giving way to hear from. You're surrendering fear. You're surrendering doubt. You're surrendering anger. You're surrendering revenge. And you're just focusing. Just focusing on the presence of God.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord,
everybody.
You ought to praise the Lord.
Everybody ought to
praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Everybody ought to
for joy.
Shout out, praise the Lord. Shout, praise the Lord. Shout, everybody. Shout for joy. Everybody, praise.
I just want to run. I just want to run. I just want to run. Because I know where my victory comes from. Comes from God. I know where my hope comes from. It comes from. Come on, clergy. Come on, clergy. Your words matter.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord,
everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Everybody,
everybody on it. Praise the Lord.
Shout, 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 shout for joy, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Shout for joy, everybody.
Praise
the Lord. Shout for joy, everybody. Everybody ought to shout for joy.
Hey! Let's shout for joy. Shout joy. Come on. Shout for joy.
You don't gotta wait till the battle is over. You can just shout.
Everybody shout.
Shout right now. Imagine that which you desire as if it has already come to pass. And just go on and thank God for it now. I don't want you to just have the rhythm and not have the words.
Shout for joy, everybody.
Shout for joy.
Shout for joy, everybody.
Shout for joy.
Shout for joy, everybody.
Shout
come on, quiet.
Joy.
Everybody ought to shout for joy.
I'm tired.
Shout for joy, everybody.
Shout for joy.
Shout for joy, everybody.
Shout for joy.
Shout for joy, everybody.
Shout for joy.
Everybody ought to shout for
shout
joy.
Shout for joy.
Shout for joy, everybody.
Shout for joy.
Shout for joy,
everybody.
Shout for joy.
Shout for joy, everybody.
Shout for joy.
Everybody ought to shout for joy.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord,
praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord,
everybody ought to praise the Lord.
Come on, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord,
praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord,
praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord, everybody, all the praise the Lord.
Come on, one more time, praise the Lord.
Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord. Everybody, praise the Lord. Everybody
shout for joy,
shout for joy, everybody shout for joy, everybody all a shout for joy,
shout for joy,
everybody praise the Lord,
shout for joy.
Shout for joy, everybody.
Shout for joy.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Everybody ought to praise the Lord.
Sometimes you just got to get your praise on.
All right.
You might not have a fancy song, but you got one focused on God, and you just get your praise on.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The doors of the church are formally opened at this moment in worship. Hashakamas. I really just could keep on praising God. I really got 100 things to thank God for.
Yes.
Thank you.
I really have come a mighty, mighty long way. And God never told me that the road would be easy. Oh, but indeed, God said, I'll be with you every step of the way. And I found out God with me in the storm makes a storm bearable. Yeah. I found out God with me in depression lifts my spirit. I found out God with me in disease comforts my soul and heals my body. I found out God with me in a season of lack becomes my provider. I found out when I'm lonely, God will send a friend. I found in the house.
Come on.